Dame Janet Smith with her review in full live here on In Radio. Just after 11 o'clock, so a lot to take in. In Radio, Stuart Clarkson joins me on the line now. Stuart, what's happened so far that we know about?
So the main finding from Dame Janet Smith's review into sexual abuse by Jimmy Savile is that she's found that BBC staff did know about complaints, but that senior management weren't told, perhaps because of a culture of fear in the BBC, and she's suggesting that still exists. She says both of the men, because it refers to both Jimmy Savile and Stuart Hall, she says both of them use their fame and positions as celebrities to abuse the vulnerable, and they must be condemned for their monstrous behaviour. Now, she's found that a lot of the cases took place in the 1970s, although they were spread out between 1959 and 2006. These are the allegations against Savile. They include 8 people who say they were raped, 1 instance of attempted rape, others faced sexual assaults, and they've identified at least 72 victims of Jimmy Savile's. 2 senior managers are criticised for being aware or probably aware of what Stuart Hall was up to on BBC premises. And the largest number of victims about Savile relate to his work on Top of the Pops, but there is some mention of Radio 1 in there as well. There's a whole chapter in the report. It's worth digging out the report on the BBC Trust website and having a read. It's about 800 pages in all. There's a large section about what went on at Radio 1, a mention of a questioning of Jimmy Savile by the head of Radio 1 at the time, Derek Chinnery, in the early 1970s. There's some detailed accounts of what took place in that meeting. But overall, Dame Janet has found that there were some serious goings-on, as you might expect, because of Savile at the BBC, and she made some recommendations as well for what the BBC could do now. Let's have a listen to what she said in the press conference.
This report makes sorry reading for the BBC. Dame Linda and I have found disturbing things and have not hesitated to expose them. From a conversation I had with Lord Hall on Tuesday after he had read my report, I am satisfied that he entirely accepts that there is much work ahead for him, the BBC Trust, and the Executive Board if the BBC is to regain the confidence of the public in respect of its culture and its child protection practices.
Now, Dame Janet has also said that there was a culture at the BBC at the time of not complaining, and she described the BBC's response to allegations of corruption and abuse of young girls as illuminating. This relates to a lot of the incidents that are said to have happened during the filming of Top of the Pop. She said the BBC investigated allegations of corruption more seriously than they actually investigated allegations about young girls. And we've heard from the BBC Trust running in a statement. They've apologised. Rona Fairhead, the chairman of the BBC Trust, said, "On behalf of the BBC and its staff, past and present, I want to apologise to the survivors for all they have suffered. I also want to commit them to them directly that we will ensure the BBC does everything it possibly can to prevent any such events in the future." Now, during the press conference that Dame Janet has given over the last hour as well, she also set out 3 key individuals who she felt could have done more to prevent the offending by Savile.
The first was Ted Beston, who was Savile's BBC Radio 1 producer. On one occasion, he was prepared to act as a provider of a young woman to Savile for sex. I found that he knew that Savile would have casual sex with teenage girls as and when he could get it. Although he denied it, I'm satisfied that Mr. Beston must have realised from their appearance that some of the girls might well be underage. He admired Savile, and I do not think it ever crossed his mind that he should report him, but he should have done. The second was Canon Colin Semper. He was a producer in the religious broadcasting department and worked closely with Savile. With commendable honesty when giving evidence to the review, he accepted that he had come to think that Savile had casual sex with a lot of girls, some of whom might have been underage. He did not discuss what he knew with his managers because he thought that they already knew about Savile and did not seem to be concerned about it. In my view, he should have discussed his concerns with his line manager. I think he now deeply regrets that he did not. The third is Douglas Muggeridge, the controller of Radio 1 and 2 in the early 1970s. Mr. Muggeridge died many years ago. In 1973, he heard rumours about Saville's sexual activities and prompted some inquiries. Saville was asked about the rumours and denied them. I think Mr. Muggeridge genuinely believed the rumours to be untrue. However, in my view, he should have retained his concerns, should have shared them with colleagues, and had a watch kept on Saville. Had he done so, Saville might well have been uncovered in the 1970s. This was a third missed opportunity.
That's Dame Janet Smith at the press conference this morning talking about some of those people who could have done more to stop Jimmy Savile or to certainly work out the level of what he was doing. Now, there's been quite a bit of reaction already to the publication of the report. A lawyer representing one of the victims of Jimmy Savile has described the report as an expensive whitewash. This is Liz Dux, who's a lawyer at Slater and Gordon, who represents 168 of Savile's many victims. She's said that managers would have only had to scratch at the very surface and a lot of Saville's offending would have been revealed. She said all the victims ever wanted from this report is truth and accountability, but despite spending millions on the inquiry, my clients will feel let down that the truth has still not been unearthed, and many will feel it's nothing more than an expensive whitewash.
So a number of producers knew about this. What do we think about them not reporting it at the time?
Well, I mean, what the report says is that there were a variety of people who knew and tried to make these allegations known. BBC managers did investigate. There is a detailed analysis of a meeting that Derek Chinnery held in the early 1970s. Doreen Davis from Radio 1 was there as well. Interviewed Saville, put some allegations to him. He brushed them all off, said, you know, this is nonsense, and explained the situation. So it goes into some detail in the report about what he said in that meeting and sets out his relationship. I mean, Dame Janet Smith, in terms of the difference between radio and television, Dame Janet Smith is quite good to point out that at Top of the Pops, there was a lot more access to audiences and teenage girls who were, and boys who were attending filmings of Top of the Pops and live studio things for TV. I mean, in radio, obviously, within Broadcasting House, within Egerton House, audiences were generally not there. There was one mention in the report about the BBC Club and some concern that the this is something that kind of used to happen before Radio 1 roadshows, where the BBC Radio 1 would do live nights from various clubs and places all around the country, and you had this BBC Club where people could be members and they had a membership card, and those were issued initially to anybody over the age of 10 and then 12, I think, later. And there was a point in the 70s where there was concern that age should be raised, and Top of the Pops had changed their age policy to be 16 and over, and Radio 1 was considering doing the same with the BBC Club. It was just difficult to do that because a lot of cards had been issued already to children who were younger than that. So the BBC did take it seriously. There were managers who were trying to do things to minimise the risk. And there's certainly a lot of mention of the situation in the early 70s of there being concern about potential damage to the BBC's reputation. And Dame Janet does say that actually it feels at times that managers were perhaps more concerned about the damage to the BBC's reputation than necessarily the damage to any of the victims.
Okay, so since Tony Blackburn sent out his statement last night, have we learnt anything new this morning from Dame Janet Smith at all?
Not on the Tony Blackburn issue. Now, it's really important to point out that Tony Blackburn is not implicated in any sexual activity in any way. He says he was cleared of any wrongdoing. He was never interviewed. There was this claim about a 15-year-old girl who later took her own life, talking about a period in 1971 now. Tony has come out and said he's been sacked by the BBC after disputing evidence given to the Dame Janet Smith inquiry. Now, both the inquiry and Tony and the BBC have made clear that they are in no way responsible for any sexual activity, and we must really point that out. The reason Tony says he's been sacked is because his version of events doesn't match what he says is the BBC's version of events. Now, we've not heard from the BBC still on this particular issue. The BBC hasn't commented on Tony Blackburn. We don't know what's going to happen with his shows that are planned for this weekend. He was already due to be off from BBC London. London, but whether whether somebody else will do Pick of the Pops on Radio 2 this weekend, we don't yet know. Tony Blackman said he'd remembered talking to his agent about the publication of a story in the News of the World, but he denied any complaint had ever been made about him. He also denied an interview had taken place, and he said it wasn't a memory lapse. Tony Blackman has repeatedly told the Dame Janet Smith Review that he was never interviewed either by a former High Court judge or a senior executive at the BBC about this allegation concerning this 15-year-old girl from 1971. And that's where the disagreement has occurred. The BBC and Dame Janet Smith seemingly saying that he was, and he said he wasn't. And they seem to have had some kind of falling out, which has ultimately led to his sacking just a couple of days ago.
So what happens next? Did the BBC say they would release a statement after today's review?
Yeah, I think Dame Janet Smith has, as I'm talking to you now, Dame Janet Smith has not long since finished talking. We've heard from the BBC Trust Chair this morning already. We are expected to hear from Lord Tony Hall, the BBC Director General, with his response to the report, and also would assume some indication of what steps the BBC has already put in place and what it might do now as a result of this report in terms of any legacy from Savile that still exists within the BBC, any cultures that still need changing.
Stuart Clarkson for now. Thank you very much.